This is Pastor Trent. I want to welcome you to the Mountain Home Church, the Nazarene Sermon Podcast. We are thrilled that you are tuning in to hear sermons from our ministries here at our church. It is our hope that the Spirit of Christ would be present with you as you listen today. I do want to take just a moment to invite you to reach out and connect with us. On our website, we have a way for you to do just that. You can visit www.mhnazarene.org/connect and fill out a very brief form. There's a spot to leave contact info, ask questions, and even to request prayer. Also, be sure to indicate that you listen to us through our SoundCloud podcast to let us know where you're listening. May the Lord be with you this day. Grace and peace to you.
Well, it's good to gather in the Lord's name and in his house this morning as we reflect on what it means to renew our covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. I do hope that some of you have a chance to celebrate New Year's Eve with us in kind of a different way later today over at the Powell's house. It is, like I said, a day of Christmas, the seventh day of Christmas, as the song says. We do celebrate all 12 days. It's been a tradition of ours to maintain that over the Sundays of Christmas, and so sometimes that happens to bring about two Sundays after Christmas, but this year, the way the calendar falls, this is our only Sunday in the season of Christmas. It's ended by Epiphany, which happens on the 6th of January, which is actually Saturday this year. As I said earlier, this is a unique Sunday. The service is modeled after a worship experience that's often offered as a watch night service. So often the Wesleyan Covenant service would happen like towards the end of the day today, and maybe even worship in the new year at midnight. Instead of doing that, we chose to bring it here to Sunday morning, and thanks for participating with us in this way. As we turn to Scripture today, I want to turn to the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with us to Jeremiah 31, or if you have devices, you can point them in that direction. Today I'll be starting in chapter 31 with verse 31 and reading through verse 34. For those who are willing and able, out of respect for the reading of God's Word, I invite you to stand as we read together from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, starting verse 31 from the Common English Bible. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. It won't be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant with me, even though I was their husband, declares the Lord. No, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my instructions within them and engrave them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will no longer need to teach each other to say, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sins." This is the word of God given to us, the people of God. We say, thanks be to God. Please be seated. I have never been much of a person who believed in resolutions. I don't know, at least not the New Year's kinds of resolutions. They seem well-intentioned, is what I can say about resolutions. They are a good thought. People generally choose things to resolve that are good, things that are healthy, things that will make life better for them, that head in the right direction. Definitely, they definitely choose that will take them forward in the long run. But that's just it. They never quite make it to the long run, right? I hesitate to ask this question. I'm not sure why I hesitate. I'm not even sure why I hesitate. Maybe because I feel guilty. But the question I want to ask is, why is that? Why is that the case? Why do they struggle to make it to the long run? Maybe I hesitate to ask that question because I feel a little bit guilty. I don't want to make you feel guilty. That's not my point today. I don't think that's what faith or following Jesus really should be about. Guilt comes in way too easy, and I think most of the time it's a tactic of the enemy. Just want to say that right up front, in the open. I believe that God's grace preaches much more effectively than guilt. Amen? Okay. We'll get back to that question of why. And I think there's some hints maybe in the passage that we just read, but we'll get back to that. In this passage that we read about the covenant that God had set up between God's self and Israel. It was very specific. It's talking about a very specific time, a very specific moment, something that was established. He says, the covenant I set up with Israel when I took them by the hand out of Egypt. In that moment and in that time and for the people of God who recognized themselves as the nation of Israel, there was a covenant that God made with them. And Jeremiah is pretty brutal about it. He's pretty honest. He says, Israel broke it, though I was a husband to them. Jeremiah uses images of marriage and marriage infidelity to describe the relationship between God and Israel, who God had covenanted with. A tough description and yet accurate that Israel was unfaithful. And Israel got distracted, and Israel would go this way, and Israel would go that way. As we look at Israel's history, time and again, Israel was going against God's plan, messing up what had been established, hanging out with the wrong crowd, saying, hey, I want to be like those guys, being jealous of the nations that surrounded them, constantly falling short of what God was inviting them to do and how God was inviting them to live. It's just how Israel behaved kind of over the course of their history. And by the time Jeremiah arrives, by the time this prophecy is being written, Jeremiah had a disturbing message. An enemy was coming. An enemy was coming from the north, and coming with a cup full of God's just anger to pour out upon the people of Israel. Jeremiah likely lived through the days when those threats became reality and Babylon came and destroyed Jerusalem and carried her people off to Israel. But in the text, Jeremiah also doesn't just leave it at the old covenant and doesn't just talk about what had been. But Jeremiah talks about what was to come. He talks about something new, a new covenant. He says, this is the covenant that I will make. Talking about the future. And he says two very distinct and interesting things for me as I read through it and studied it over the course of this week. He says this. He says, I will put my law in their minds. I will write it. I will inscribe it. Meaning my law on their hearts. That's the transition that Jeremiah talks about, which is fascinating. It changes the covenant a bit. It looks different than it did for the Israelite people who went to Egypt and escaped and wandered in the desert and came to the promised land, who were ruled by God for a while, and then came the judges, and then they wanted kings like their neighbors did, and they were warned, said, with kings come some other things. And then they were exiled to Babylon. This new covenant looks different. The covenant that God invites us to looks different. The content is different, but God doesn't talk about that. In Jeremiah, he doesn't talk about the change in message or how it's going to be structured different or how it'll look different. What does God talk about through Jeremiah? He talks about the method of delivery. The changes that he focuses on in this passage is how he's going to deliver this covenant, how he's going to deliver his instruction, how he's going to offer this new relationship to God's people. The law before had been chiseled on stone. When Moses had gone up Mount Sinai and received from God the law and brought it down on stone tablets. Had to do it twice because it's the first time he got mad. If you know the story. The law had been chiseled before on stone, dictated through the Torah and taught to the people. There were these experts, these teachers who person to person had to teach and had to say, this is what we're supposed to do and this is how we're supposed to act. And in this situation, we do this. And in this situation, we do that. Even Jeremiah talks a little bit about this. The man had to teach to his neighbor that every man taught it to his brother, to his sister, to the people around them. And God, through Jeremiah, says, we enter into a new place. We're going in a new direction where the law of God will be written on our minds and inscribed on our hearts, that it becomes part of us. He says, people will know me. There won't have to be this mediator between us and God, but people will know God, be invited into relationship, for they all shall know me. Hidden somewhere in this change, I think I discover or have a glimpse, have a glimmer of the why and all those well-intentioned resolutions. You know, resolutions tend to stay out here. We write them down so we can remember them, or they're maybe suggested, and we say, oh yeah, I think that sounds like a good idea. I'm gonna try to do that this year. They're out here and imposed. They're foreign to us. There's this disequilibrium that they cause in our lives, and we try to adjust, and we try to make them a new normal. I don't know about you, but when I encounter a supposed to that doesn't feel right, that feels new, that feels foreign, that doesn't feel normal and natural, I kind of get the guard up. Like, who are you to tell me what I'm supposed to do? Feels uncomfortable. Feels a little off. It feels a little unnatural. It lands different and separate from something internal. Something written on our hearts, something that's put deep into our minds. For me, and possibly for you, when it's external and imposed, I tend to struggle against. But change me on the inside, and it becomes a pleasure and a joy. That when it bubbles from an interior place, when it comes out of my mind and my heart, a part of who I am, that there isn't this resistance, there isn't this struggle. And God says, that's my new covenant. That's what I want to do for my people. That's how I want to relate, and that's how I want to act, how I want to interact with my creation. And I want to tell you, in honesty today, that that's the only way that covenant has a chance of working in our lives. That as part of a new covenant, we allow ourselves to have God's law, to have God's instructions written on our hearts, engraved and inscribed. I believe God wants us all to change, to become more like his son, Jesus Christ, to have more grace, to have more love for the people around us. But the way that God wants us to change is a little different for all of us, which is a little scary. It's a little scary because I can't stand up here and dictate for you what God's writing on your heart today. The thing is, I trust Scripture. Scripture says, for they shall all know me, for they all shall know me. So here's the deal. I don't dictate a covenant today. I'm not able to look you in the eye and say, this is what God has for you. I trust the Holy Spirit and I trust Scripture to do the work in your own life. To look within and to say, how does God want to shape me in this moment? How prideful would it be for me to be the one to say, well, this is what you need and this is what you need, and that's not how I pastor, folks. That's not what God's called me to. I don't think that's my place. And yet what is my place is to try and help create some time and some space for you to think and to pray and to consider, what has God put inside of me? How has God invited me to become a part of a covenant relationship with Him? And what I think, is that changes this whole scenario from these external pressures, these resolutions. I'm going to make this commitment. I'm really going to try this year, Pastor, to do X, Y, Z. I don't want something imposed on your life by me or by anyone else. Instead, I want to invite you to look inside. Scripture says that in this new covenant, God's law is inscribed on our hearts. And I simply invite you to ask the question, what does God have going on inside of me that I can affirm, that I can speak out loud, that I can identify, and allow that to become the renewal of our covenant for the year to come? In a few moments, we're going to close this service with communion, but I'm going to ask something odd. I'm going to ask that the act of responding to the table of grace, to coming and sharing communion with us, be a commitment to act on that which Christ is inviting you to do. That as you come and receive the elements, as you receive bread and juice this morning, that it would be a statement of saying, God, I'm saying yes to this covenant that you're inviting me to. And for as many as possible, I would love for you to identify that. When we're asking, what has God written inside my heart to do, we'd be able to articulate that. Or, as you receive communion today, you're making the commitment that when God reveals to you what He's writing upon your heart, that your answer will be yes. And so the table's open to any and to all, but I ask that as you receive communion, that could be a sense of your commitment to responding to the grace that God has for you. And so I just want to give you time to think and process this. We don't do this often. We're doing a lot of that today. We don't do this often, but I'm going to be quiet for a few moments, maybe 30, 45 seconds, to just allow you to ponder and to think. Because sometimes when I'm talking, it's harder to gaze inward and to ask what is God speaking to me. We have one more responsive piece that I want to take you through, and then we'll share in communion. As a sealing of this covenant this morning. As always in our service, if the altars are open, if that would be a helpful place for you to come and to think and to pray, you can do that. But I just like to leave it quiet for a few seconds, and then I'll pray as we conclude our time of silence. Lord, today I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak loudly to us, that we might hear and discern what it is you're speaking to each of us, that in this moment, as we covenant with you, as we remind ourselves of the deep commitment we have to follow after you and to obey your leading, that you would speak directly to us. We thank you for how you've transformed us in the past and how you've led us toward your truth. And we invite you to continue to work, to continue to transform us into the people that you would have us be. And we conclude today this prayer with the words that you taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. I invite you to pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, I invite you to respond as prompted by the screen in this covenant commitment. We now yield ourselves to the Lord. As his servants, we must give up the dominion and control of ourselves to Christ. Scripture says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. We revere you. We dedicate ourselves to your service. In so giving ourselves to the Lord, we affirm that we will heartily embrace what he has appointed us to do, both corporately and personally. Let him appoint you to your work. Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable, others more difficult and menial. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests. Others are contrary to both. In some, we may please Christ and please ourselves, as when he requires us to feed and clothe ourselves. Indeed, there are some spiritual duties that are more pleasing than others, as to rejoice in the Lord, to be a blessing, and to praise God. These are the sweet works of a Christian. But then there are other works wherein to please Christ is to deny ourselves. And here's the invitation. Find what it is that Christ expects of you, and then give yourselves totally to his will without bargaining and without reservation. Make us what you will, Lord, and send us where we are to go. Let us be vessels of silver or gold, or vessels of wood or stone. As long as we are vessels of honor, we are content. If we are not the head or the eye or the ear, one of the nobler or more honorable instruments, then let us be the hands or the feet, as one of the lowest and least esteemed of all the servants of our Lord. Lord, place us in your kingdom in the roles you have designed for us. Lord, make all of us your servants in exalted places and humble places. Let us be full. Let us be empty. Let us have all things. Let us have nothing. We freely and gladly embrace our places in your kingdom. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the praise team and those who are prepared to help serve communion forward and to get ready. And just invite you today in sharing this Eucharist together, this communion meal. I invite you to reaffirm your commitment to allow God to put his law in our minds and to write it on our hearts as part of this new covenant that all the way back in Jeremiah spoke about, and yet today has such rich meaning has such power for us today. And we will covenant with God to do that which he has put inside of us already, not as a resolution to struggle against, but as a welcome invitation to change us from the inside out. Amen? Amen. Here at our church, we practice what's called open communion, which basically means if you have decided even today to follow Christ, to allow that new covenant to be a part of your life, you are welcome to receive communion with us. As you approach the communion stations, we'll have two here and one set up in the back. If you approach with open hands, we'll place a piece of bread in your hands and you can dip it in the juice and partake of those elements right there. If you prefer, we'll have a bowl of prepackaged elements that you can take from the bowl and return to your seats and partake of the communion elements at that place. Reading today the communion liturgy that's given to us in Luke chapter 22 from the Common English. When the time came, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles joined him. He said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I tell you, I won't eat it again until it is fulfilled in God's kingdom." After taking a cup and giving thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. I tell you that from now on I won't drink from the fruit of the vine until God's kingdom has come." Verse 19, after taking the bread and giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the meal and said, "This cup is the new covenant by my blood, which is poured out for you." Let us pray. Lord, today we come before you acknowledging the work that you have already done in our lives, acknowledging that you are Lord and Savior, that you have extended to us the rich and meaningful covenant of relationship with you. And today, as we come again to renew this covenant, God, we ask that you would be in our hearts and in our minds, and that from a very deep and meaningful internal place, that you would invite us into the transformative work that you have for us to do in our lives. We're grateful for how you extend to us relationship, how you reach out to us first and allow us to respond when we're ready, that you don't force yourself on us or coerce us in any way, and yet simply invite us to this table of grace. Lord, we ask that you would make these elements for us symbols of the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might become for you the hands and feet of Christ in the world in which we live. Consecrate these elements for us now in your power and by your name, we pray. Amen. The table is set, the invitation given. Come and dine. Amen. And so today we just renew our covenant that our lives will be modeled after that which Christ invites us to. And that's the commitment we make every day. And yet it's good to be reminded. I think it's good to be reminded of the covenant that we have with our Lord and Savior. I'm going to invite those who are willing and able, would you please stand as we offer a benediction prayer today? We have this tradition of holding out our hands, reminding us that we receive this benediction prayer today. Now may the covenant we have made today on earth be sealed in heaven, and may God enable us to live faithfully before him. The peace of Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Go in the love of Christ.
Thanks for joining us today on the Mountain Home Church The Nazarene Podcast. Don't forget to visit us at mhnazarene.org/connect if you'd like to connect with us, and have a great week.